Yeah, this is the sheet, okay? The sheet is like this. What's the most important thing in the world? That's a weird question. Okay. What's the first virtue you gotta have in order to become a mensch? When you have a little boy, and everyone knows that boys are born without any middos, or with only bad ones, or with unformed ones, depending on which framing you like better. And then we go to Chayder, and we start teaching you how to become a mensch, right? Everyone says, be a mensch, right? Today I told someone that I think that the reason why the Eden don't believe in evolution is because we're watching the monkeys for so long, because the mention was seen as a monkey, and they didn't become a mensch yet. It seems unreasonable. Huh? Evolution is really believes in Shiva, like you could be a monkey for a million years and then talk to a person. I don't know, sounds unreasonable. Doesn't sound realistic. The monkeys that I know, monkey noilad, monkey yumlis, not happening. They're not becoming mentioned ever. But I was taught more than he thinks that you could become a monkey after a million years. You could become a mensch. But anyways,
it's not only the Eden.
Not only the Eden don't believe it because of this. They claim they don't believe in their evolution because it's making humans too small. It's the opposite. It's making humans too big. It's saying that even if you're a monkey, you can become a mensch after a certain amount of years. Still, the pool was a mensch can be in the chapuyur. Right? That's the very obvious next step. But I guess people want everything to take very fast. That goes back to our previous classes, how people have unrealistic expectations on the cycles of the universe. Right? In any case, that's not our shmiz. We're back to the nekida. Our nekida is, what's the first midas? We teach a child or someone comes in the my yeshiva, tell you, first thing is you have to have good midas. You don't have good midas, we don't teach you anything. That's another sheet, right? Why don't we teach you anything if you have bad midas? Why don't we teach you anything if you have bad midas? Halacha, Talmud Shaina Hogan. We don't teach many Torah. It says in the Rambam, Lich Stama Torah. Someone comes to my sheet and I see there's Talmud Shaina Hogan. What do? I wait. You have to tell them to have to do first two of tshuva, and then you can come to the shiur. And what do we do if there's someone that's like that and he comes to the shiur anyways?
Move
them
to the group chat.
What do we do? You don't know what we do? This is a test on my previous shiur. Okay. The answer is that we say the shiur anyways. And the guy that has bad mitzvah is not going to understand the shiur. It's exactly in Hashemayim. That's the Shemir HaPesach. Shemir HaPesach is in your heart. If you don't want to understand, you don't understand. Or if you don't care enough, because that's my experience also. You could make up a whole different sheet that he thinks that I said, but then it's not clear how much it's my fault, or maybe it is a little bit, but it's not my problem. So that's the point is, that you have to have good midas. So what are the middos that we tell you to gut, right? If he comes and says, what did I do wrong? You say, well, you ate chazer. That's not the point, right? So, what kind of problem could there be? Bad middos, those are the problems. That's called chalmach and hook. Not like chalmach, usu masra, usu masra. So he says, stop doing it, or he didn't do it. Well, chalmach means he has bad middos, right? Someone that has bad middos, not allowed to be shown the truth. Also can't be shown the truth, and also causes harm to everyone. There's a lot of bad things about that. So my interesting question is, what is the list of bad middos that we have, or good middos, which are the opposite of the bad ones, that we tell you, we hand you, come into our smedrash, come into our culture, right? We educate you, what's our education? What is our list of middos that you gotta have? Very important question, right? What was the list? Machalais, let's know.
Patience.
Patience, okay.
Courage. Certain amount, at least.
Okay.
Attentiveness, if that's a virtue.
Virtues are it's the opposite, right? The qualities that we think are important for whatever kind of person we're trying to create, those are the virtues, right?
If, like, the truth better than your opinion?
Oh, those are from my class, okay.
That's what we asked, no?
Yeah. I guess I have to start somewhere, man. And for some being a good guy in society, what are the virtues?
Is curiosity
a virtue?
Yeah.
It's a big machloikus. How's it called? Who and who? Like Aristotle and Augustine or something like that. Augustine says that curiosity is the Yetzer Hara alliance. And Aristotle seems to think that curiosity is the etzot of lives. So that's a very big question. What kind of society do you like? Mm-hmm. Do we hold of curiosity in our Smedrish?
I don't think so.
No?
Yeah, I mean, it's low on the totem pole.
No? Depends what you mean by curiosity.
Number one thing.
What do you mean by curiosity?
I'll be smart about that.
Curiosity meaning you want to know the truth? Or curiosity?
Wonder. Yeah, like to know
right
the thing.
Right, see, so that's...
Yeah. No, if you and I hear of a curious person, I think of like, oh, he's curious, like how many legs a caterpillar has.
Right.
Okay, like...
Well, in wonder.
It's not just curious, you know, what's the... Like, okay, the curiosity to me is a search for things
real.
That has no organization and order of...
No, but I think you spoke about
that. Yeah, he's talking about something else, right? You're talking about two different things.
Yeah, you spoke about that once. Yeah, but you spoke about that once in Shir. Like,
maybe
that's not called curiosity, right? Because
that's something like it's.
Yeah,
I think it's either a form of rechiles. I don't know how you say rechiles. Gossip, like liking gossip, like most history Shirim about gossip, according to me. And I like it. That's why I read them because everyone, human beings, like gossip. But that's what it amounts to. And the other, or it's a kind of accumulation of like
many
riches,
facts.
Like I have so many facts in my back, I have $20 in my back.
Yeah.
Or it's
probably prioritizing surprising things.
It's not something
things.
That's going to affect the change of your character.
Yeah,
by knowing.
Exactly. Or it's a maskabed b'klei chavarei situation.
Yeah.
It's all about you knowing that you're smarter than that guy. You know the Benson Abshus was the chapter tzvinik, but you're not. So you're better than him. You're not.
Right.
Should I apply, see, okay? Then you'll be better than him. Anyways. Yeah, so that's one. Okay, but what are the more basic virtues? We're getting, I started, like, virtues that are necessary for intellectual progress because we're supposedly trying to do that. But when you teach your children,
humility,
what are we teaching them? I think we can't jump. I think
Precious.
We also can't jump.
Humility isn't...
Thank you very much. I know you know that I'm trying to get there, but I'm looking, like, for a way to get there. That's
humility
not... You're cheating. You're like the chat that knows what I want to say and... Humility?
For
intellectual virtue? Yeah.
Yeah.
For us? Yeah. A kind of humility, which means an openness to listen.
Yeah.
What other midas toyos? What are the worst things?
Oh, gava.
Gava? Yeah.
Anger?
Yeah, anger.
Why?
I don't know why I was so against anger, honestly.
What's the
the guy that you're angry at?
Well, because I think that, like, you lost of mind then.
Like,
yeah,
see this in Oilam.
No, I'm not talking about
doesn't
these
say cast.
I'm not for real.
Huh?
Doesn't say cast on that Mishnah.
Yeah.
Cast, but... Kena means cast.
At least the Rambam says no.
The Rambam says it's against cast, that's true, but I don't know if there's that. Yeah. Does he?
Why is
it?
COVID?
Yeah. Like,
what does COVID mean?
Someone that wants honor, right? Yeah, like a bagava, I guess it's the same thing.
I don't see that as such a bad thing, honestly. Okay, now we're going to my opinion.
No,
so.
Because then it would bump into wanting
your
opinion over the truth.
Okay, that's what he said.
Yeah.
Generosity.
Just to be clear, but that's one thing. That's one very important thing. All of learning means having an interest in the truth, which basically means espash sagashmis, right? I mean, it says in Svur Magdoshim, Espash Tagashmis, that's what it means, right? Well, that's one of the things it means. Nachon? Bitlayesh. What's Bitlayesh? That I don't want Chabad to be right, I want the truth to be right, right? That's Bitlayesh. Just being interested in intellect means not caring about yourself, or about your party, or about your religion, or about your nation, or anything, right? Only about the truth. About what is, right? It means that you're dedicated, you are giving yourself over to what is, and then that's Pesilas Nefesh, right? Most people are not really ready for that. We only manage to do it by compartmentalizing, right?
That's what you're talking about, Pesach Degasmus?
Of course.
And Pesach?
No. Well, yeah, maybe, in some sense. First, I don't know, we're jumping around here because we're trying to grapple. It's one reasoning of, yeah, it's definitely one point. That Pesach is not, neither may call this Pesach Nespas Degasmus, this is Plato's Pesach, like, ecstasy, which means Espash Tagashmis, was said about this first. The truth is outside of you, right? It's bigger than your wants. You in the sense of, not in the sense of your capacity to grasp the truth, but in the sense of your wants and your opinions, your biases, all these kinds of things. And wanting to know the truth. When someone says, you know, when someone comes and says, I want to know the truth. All the chevre, who are the chevre that want to know the truth? Oh gosh, you want to know the truth?
You're the ones wanting to use it for something. For their own interests.
Yeah, I guess. Who wants to know the truth? How much do you want to pay for it?
What are you paying Wednesday nights?
First things. First, you have to come every Wednesday and give away your time. But more seriously, you have to give away your desire for like comfort. People for some reason claim that they're comfortable and believing the things they believed yesterday. I have no idea what's so comfortable about that, but that's what people say sometimes.
Now what?
You heard the people saying this? I'm comfortable believing what I believed yesterday, so I don't want to change my mind. Heard people saying
it's
that?
Yeah.
Yish. It's for sure a kind of yish. I also don't have what's so comfortable about it. It's like, it's laziness, I guess, but like comfortability, I don't know. I'm more comfortable finding out like how things are really, I don't know. Well, what's wrong about that? Mostly I don't know, but okay.
I don't know if you have to have more comfortable in that and just you're okay being not comfortable as long as the truth is going to come along with it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's okay, but like comfort
or
seems
you're,
like
or
very
you're more uncomfortable not knowing the truth than believing what you said yesterday.
It's uncomfortable. Oh, so you're pretending to know the truth, but that's not.
No, meaning for me, it's also comfortable to continue believing what I already believe, but it's even more uncomfortable to believe that my devotion to that is hiding the truth from me.
Okay.
I'm just letting the greater discomfort
win.
Yeah,
it's just a game of words now. I don't know, all the people that go, do you know people that go around saying that they're looking for the truth, their Rebbe doesn't give them the truth, they want to know the truth, there's such a thing, people say that stuff. Seems to me to be a very great, like, how do you call it? It's very audacious to say that you want the truth. Firstly, maybe the truth doesn't want you. How do you know you're worthy of it? What do you do for it? How would the truth want you? You want the truth? You do? But you see, this is, now I'm talking about it as if it's like a middah, as if it's like a want. It's not really a want, it's a practice, right? There's a practice to this. Like we say, everything, even the intellectual virtues, begin and end with a practice, right? There's a practice. And the practice of search for truth is this kind of discourse, this kind of discussion where we never say, oh, well, that's what we got to believe. Or we never say, like, seems to be too hard to think about. Okay, if it's hard to think about, then we're stuck. Let's try to find a way to think about it or to talk about it. But it's a practice, right? It's not a... I'm not saying like, you don't want it. What, do you do it? Do you practice the search of truth, or do you practice the explanation of what someone else said, which is a nice thing to do, but it's not searching for truth. Unless you're doing that and because you think that that's going to reveal more of reality to you. Okay, that's one middah. Very important middah. But love of the truth more than yourself. Love of the truth more than your teachers, more than your friends, right? Remember? If you don't love your friend, you see? Now you understand one reason why. Why the many of the critics are the worst people. You have why? There's one reason, sometimes. But not all of the cases, it's true, but there's a reason why. Why are critics the worst people? Because remember Aristotle said in the beginning of the Ethics, in Book 1, Chapter 6, that he's going to disagree with Plato, even though it's like an uphill climb to disagree with him. Why? Because as much as we love our friends, our teachers, he calls everyone friends, the kinds of love. Philia, you must love, it is the duty or the piety of philosophers to love the truth more than their friends. That's something that Plato said also, Socrates says that about that thing. What this means is, first you got to love your friends. And then, although you love your friend, if you're a philosopher, if you're some person, then you should probably just love your friend. You don't even know what loving truth means. But if you're a philosopher, it means you have a love for wisdom, you have a love for truth, then your duty, maybe including your duty to your friends, is to love that more. So don't say we're going to defend this opinion because it's an opinion of our friends. If it doesn't make sense to us, if we don't understand it, we're going to hack on it, we're going to deny
maybe
it.
Maybe only a philosopher is supposed to love their friends.
No. Everyone is supposed to love their friends.
Why?
That's part of.
No,
there's no one friend.
No,
there's such a kind of love, of course. The philosophers like to say that they're the only ones that really like their friends. But everyone should love their friends. And philosophers should love also the truth more than their friends. Not love their friends.
The sentence doesn't follow.
What doesn't follow?
Meaning, don't only love the chochem, love the chochmeh more than the chochem. That's basically how I would say what he's saying. But if the friends are not chochmeh, so then there's no continuation.
What does loving your friends mean?
Don't love for them. Your wife, love the truth. Like what Shaykh is. Right?
No, there's there's isn't there, right? That's where I was going, right? There's many people that claim to love the truth, and they say it's easy for them to love the truth. They don't realize that claiming to love the truth is making a claim on your moral worth, on what kind of person you are. You're setting yourself apart as a person from most other people who do not love the truth in any significant way. And those people say, what do you mean? But this guy's my whole society, everyone is living in falsehood. They all believe all kind of nonsense, and I'm the first one or the last one that discovered this, and therefore I'm going to, I don't know, write blogs on the internet against them, and so on. And this guy, he thinks that he's got this love of truth for free. The reason it's for free is because he doesn't have good medicine. He just hates his wife. He doesn't love his friends. Therefore, for him, there's no chachmah to love truth more than his friends, because he doesn't love, he's a horrible human being to begin with. He's just a great egoist. He doesn't even see past his own nose. If you're a guy that doesn't see past your own nose, and you call that loving your truth more than loving your friends, you're not a guy that loves the truth more than you love your friends. You're just a horrible person. And I've been zeichet to know many people that are like that. Understand? They pretend to be the ones that love the truth, but really they're just ones that cannot see past their own nose. And therefore, whatever thought he has, as opposed to anything that anyone else told him, loving your parents means also accepting their thoughts. Maybe not as truth, because you don't know what truth is, but their opinions. Part of filial love, part of your allegiance to your society. This is very important. I think that modernity has ruined this by creating societies that are liberal and so on to get to this. But in reality, part of allegiance to your friends is agreeing to their opinions. Did you know? Within most limits, that's just what friendship requires. You can't be my friend and say, everything you think is nonsense. I'm going to be very upset at you. Not me. Because I'm a crazy guy. And somehow I have figured out a way to give you a giggle while you say that. But most people, that's the whole thing, that's what we have to give kegel, you have. But most people, they're like, why are you eating my kegel if you don't respect my beliefs? Right? And that, therefore, the people that do go against that are usually bad people. And it's a bad act to do even as a philosopher. Just, the philosopher is like, his allegiance is to a higher God, right? He has a higher truth, a higher value that's beyond that, and how that works within other people in society. You're right that it works much better when he disagrees with his philosopher friends. If he's going to go and disagree with his mother, that might not even be the duty of a philosopher. Understand? It might be that even someone who is a philosopher, his piety to his duty to, right? Well, I'm using piety as duty to something, right? His duty to his family is to agree with them. Not to agree with them for real, but to say that he agrees with them. Right? That's what they care about anyways. What do they care what you think in your heart? It doesn't make any sense. But that's a real duty, that's moral, otherwise you're a horrible person. What kind of a good person are you? Like, I can give you, like, I don't know who you want me to talk Lashon Hara about now, but like, what kind of a person are you if you're like, I'm an Ish Emes, I'm about the truth, and therefore, Chadich in the Red, my mother, my wife, my children. That's not Ish Emes, that's just a Goy Gomer. Shaygetz. And that's one of the reasons why critics are often horrible people. Not always, but sometimes. Some of them are just the people that haven't been socialized. They don't have the social virtues. They don't like their friends. And therefore, it's very easy for them to say opposite. But they don't have the love of truth which goes beyond that, which says, I do very much love you. That's a real thing. And, right, if Avraham Avinu would be just a guy that doesn't care for his children, that kind of wouldn't be interesting, right? That's what it says, I'm going back to saying my stories about Avraham Avinu. That's what it says in the Pusik, it says, Tarachsidash Rebbe, Es Binchas, Es Yechitcha, Asher Ahavto. Milu Negudl, where can we find a greater witness, a greater proof that someone loves his son, if God himself says you love him? The Torah says, Asher Ahavto, you love Yitzchak. And this kid, you should be mad. If it would be just guy, Yishmol, wouldn't be a chachma. He doesn't really love him. That's why it was not a guy, this Yishmol. If he loves Yitzchak, then it's a chachma.
No, but he says clearly that he does love him.
Yeah, Av Yishmol?
Yeah.
Which died?
And you know what's interesting?
Avraham says, which one,
Avraham
right?
Avraham says things. Like, in a medrash it says.
Meaning,
no,
in a medrash.
In a medrash.
And the Chavis HaVav is said.
Whenever someone says, I love both equally, you know he's lying, right?
Do you?
I think so. What do you like best? Both. Okay, you mean to say you're not telling me the truth. You don't have to tell me the answer. I'm not saying it might be wrong to say the truth answer. You're not allowed to tell anyone which of your, even yourself, you're not allowed to tell me more, which of your children you like more. But it's always true that someone likes their children more.
One child is the other.
Yeah.
Stam,
or pretty, or maybe almost always true. Unless you just don't love, which is one excuse, one way out.
Stam, to just. The Chavis HaVav says that it wouldn't have been such a nisayin if Avram wouldn't have did the akedah without love, meaning, like what you're saying, right? The love for truth more than the love for friends.
Yeah, for sure. If he would be a bad guy,
I found that astounding when he said something like that. Like, what do you mean? You're obviously trading the love for your kid for the love for truth. But now that you're saying that,
yeah, you have, but
it's mind blowing.
We sometimes, that's why we keep on talking about Avraham Avinu for this purpose, right? Because people have this like imaginary story of Avraham as the guy that going around his father's store and breaking the getchkes, which might have happened, but was not allowed to do. Not allowed to do that, right? So the nekuda is that. This is a middah, but this is like, it's a great thing if someone claims himself to love the truth. We can talk about the practice, that's why it's easier to talk about the practice of searching for truth. In other words, when I'm learning, it's not an opinion, right? What's the difference, one big difference between an opinion and a thought? A thought is something you do, an opinion is something you have, right? Whenever someone asks you a question, you could say, like, what do you think about this? You mean to say I should think with you now about it? Or you mean to say I should give you a tape recording of what I thought about it yesterday? That's what most people do usually. I don't have an opinion about it. Okay, let's learn about it. But that requires the set and setting, right? It requires the Yeshiva Das, requires the openness to be able to do that now. Usually you're just saying, not even thoughts, like the distillation of thoughts that you had in the past or that someone told you in the past. Okay, Nachlein, this is what Midah. What are the other middos that we need to have in general as human being? Why don't we have, you see, this is really weird. Why don't we have like a very basic list of like, these are the things that you need
generosity,
to do.
Generosity, let's say.
Nobody knows. There's like a seres adibris, isn't there? What do you say when someone dies? Like you go through the list of virtues and you find which one he did, right? For his husband. What are those? What are that list?
I don't know what's wrong with generosity.
I'm not saying nothing wrong with that.
Honest.
One good thing.
Honesty, yeah.
Okay. Okay, let's try to make life easier. What are the top three? Finish. What are the top three?
Not for intellectual.
No, before the intellectual things.
Humbleness.
Before what we need specifically to come to my sheep, because remember that's what I was saying. If you're not a good person and you come to the sheep, most of your supposed intellectual virtues are fake also, right? So first, being a good person, chlau. What are the three top things that you need to do?
Courage is a short up there.
Why?
No?
I don't know, I'm asking you. So I'm going to make you justify things now. What are the three top virtues for Lakewood, for Howell, I don't know, what, whichever.
Courage just means doing everything in the right way.
Everything just means everything in the right way. We're trying to speak in more detail than that, right? What are the three top virtues? You can learn a lot from a person about a person or a society by asking them this question. I don't know if you ask them directly, they usually lie, but you find out. What are the three top things people are praised or blamed for in your classroom?
Well, as a bad thing?
The bad usually is the opposite of the good, right?
Right. Someone who's...
In the New York Times, what are the three top good and bad things?
I don't know a better word. There's a better word for materialistic and pleasure-seeking.
That's the good thing?
Not a good thing.
That's a bad thing.
That's
according
not
to
a virtue,
you.
Though.
According to most people.
According to most people.
That's not a virtue. That's like a characterization of like...
What are virtues? Like kinds of people, right? Or specific parts of kinds of people, right?
Right.
Okay, you all went to yeshiva. In their yeshiva, what? Hello, not still. In their yeshiva, what were the three top virtues discussed?
I don't know. I'm just gonna give honesty, humbleness, and generosity.
Abstinence.
Is that true?
I don't know.
You just make up a list. You're not recording.
Yeah, I'm making a list.
But why would those be the three like top things?
I would say abstinence.
In the yeshiva or in here?
In the yeshiva.
Okay, number one, number two?
Consistency.
Okay, number three?
Abstinence again?
That was the same one. I already said it. And Bell's in the top tribe, but this is what I'm saying.
How do you say Zrizus in English?
I don't know what Zrizus mean. What does it mean? I don't, explain what you mean and I'll tell
it. I don't know.
You have to have a word, you can just say what you mean, that's fine. What are the three top good and bad middas? Have I smashed? Go do homework, we're going to give out homework sheets. And everyone should brainstorm about it. Isn't it weird that nobody has an answer here? You know what the Seiras HaDibris are?
We don't learn about this in yeshiva.
What do you learn about? Well, you don't learn about it, but it's... No, they do. Maybe not explicitly in the way of like giving you a list to memorize. Okay. But you do, like... They do give over a kind of life, which basically can be defined in some such a way. What's the top three things that they tell the guy to tell their to by the shidduch information? I know those top three things.
How do you say teicha kabare in somebody's real, not fake?
Okay.
Like, is that
something in they hold up in the yeshiva?
Well, that's not the yeshiva's portray, but I mean, could be they preach it.
They do?
Could be. I don't know.
Not really sure. It would be called something like...
Not the yeshivas I went to.
Nowadays.
Not the yeshivas I went to, but... Maybe some do. I don't know. To give the benefit of the doubt, maybe. But...
In the yeshiva, they hold of three things.
Kindness is for sure.
In the shidduch world, it says, does he learn well? Does he have midas toivas? And does he have money? Is there anything else that the shatkan has to know? That's so funny. Midas toivas, what does it mean? That's a good question.
Because that was a trick question now.
Overindulgent. What's the word for that?
What's meant indulgent?
What is that?
How do you say it in Lashon
HaKodesh?
Yeah,
in English, I don't care. In
English, temperance.
Temperance. So temperance is number one. The middle stage is talking about kindness. I don't know, like chesed. Like, ready to do. If you're asking me personally, that's how I. And humility.
It's meant kindness.
Kindness is. Ready to do someone else a
favor.
Not only someone else to be kind to yourself, to develop, to do good. Not good in Aristotle's good, but those type of things. Yeah, whenever you see these chesuvim, you can memalas on. You're there. Also, you frag was the top sounds. You frag was ich halt.
Yeah,
my world.
No, I have thoughts about this kindness.
No, tell me what's the thoughts.
What's the thought about kindness?
Yeah. Because kindness you could plug it into anything, really.
Right, because what you're talking about is something like helping, being helpful.
Right.
Not the same thing as kindness.
That's what I mean.
Or maybe that's what you mean.
Right? Being helpful, yeah.
And Moshe says that it was, he was just saying random stuff.
Yeah, I was just throwing it out there.
Whatever. What is really the thing?
What?
Okay.
What was just coming to my mind?
So first, I have a lot of discussions here, a lot of toilets to say, but I'm asked like this. Firstly, there's a serious question, where's this list, or what's going on with this list? You remember that to become a good person basically means all these things. And what's the list? Does anyone have a list, a complete list of all the good things and the bad things? Not the good things, the good virtues and the bad virtues, and the opposite of virtues, right, the vices. Hope. Not exactly what you mean. Positivity.
Perseverance.
Perseverance, that's it. Perseverance is very important in this form of sense.
So,
yeah.
We could read a little bit if you want, or I could talk to you about what things say in the books. If you read the books that we're reading, like the 8 chapters, you'll find there's various lists of these things. Various lists. One of if you read the Shmuel Rambam in Hilchos Dayos, or if you read, what else should you read for such lists? Anything you will read, you will find that they have various lists. And one thing you'll find specifically in places like the Rambam is that they do not have a list. Not a very clear list. If you notice that. And if you care about Marim Mekoymes, you could look in El Cheshmeine Perek and Perek Beis and Perek Dalet, where there's the same list twice and it changes in between. He forgot his previous list. He took out one thing and added something else or something like that. You could look at El Chazdai's Perek Aleph, where he has a third list, or El Chazdai's Perek Beis, where he has sort of a fourth list. You see that the lists are not consistent. That's one problem. Ah, yeah. And if I ask you, I got so many different lists and I don't know what's going on. Sounds interesting. There are some traditions with much better lists, much more clarity about what their list of good and bad things are. Even a book like the Chavos Lavavos is in its entirety kind of a list of virtues, right? That is one problem. One interesting thing that we can use here from these lists is to notice that there are commonalities, there are things that keep on popping up. So if I will do this kind of survey or kind of discussion with more people, and really wonder, like, what happens, what becomes the things that people keep on saying? Or if you ask yourself 5 times a week or 5 times a year what your list of virtues are. And of course, there some of them are going to change and some of them won't change. Some of them will keep on coming up again and again. And that's how you find out which are the ones that are more important or more basic or more central or more needed. Right? Make sense? Or maybe the ones that you don't talk about, those are the ones that you need. And you don't talk about them because that's all possible, right? There will also be many different ways of deciding to make such a list, right? One way would be what I just told you. Let's try to think of one of the most salient things. What are the things that are most obvious? What are the things that are most pop out to you when you look at people and look at what you're trying to teach them? And you find this is the list. A more rational way would be somehow to figure out like how to make this list, right? What would be the correct way to make such a list? I don't know, could you think of some correct ways? What is the correct way to make a list, anyways?
What's needed for it?
What's needed for what?
For the next step.
What steps?
What?
What are steps? What do you mean by steps
now?
Steps of?
It's the step, this list is the step before the intellectual virtues, right?
That's a, I don't know.
In order, if you don't have these, then you can't get to that, right?
Okay, so let's say.
So then you would have to figure out like what is needed.
But it's not the only thing. It's not the only way that I can make the list, right?
Look at what
just to be clear. What?
Look at what good people do.
Look at what people do. That would be the first way. Seems like a very messy way to do things. Maybe it's the best way, but it's a messy way. Let's try to list, try to like put all the things they do or the ways they act into like little boxes.
And you can do the inverse, you can see what goes wrong in the world and figure out what it's an excess of.
Yeah, we could do that also. But there should also be like more rational ways of doing things, right? Like more top-down ways of doing things.
Yeah, you could look at what best serves human beings.
That would be another way of looking at the particulars first, right? Starting from the bottom. What would be the ways of starting from the top?
What's the next move?
I don't like what you're saying, what is the next move, because like that's not all that makes the... Assuming, firstly, you already put in a whole assumption.
What's good about people?
Yeah, I get that, but that's like, so how do we start? And then could just say what's good about people is being good people.
What are people?
That's very, very, yeah, that's the most general thing. Now we're talking about something about a lot more specific, right? We're talking about specific lists of ways, very specific ways in which people are good and bad, right? So how would you get from there to here? Is there a way? How would we get from what you're saying, for example? What?
How to get from virtue to the virtues?
Yeah. Is there a way to do that? Saying, like we said, a good person is someone that's good at personing. Okay, and how do we get from that to
a virtue is, humility? A virtue is something that's
whatever
done...
Whatever was on your list before.
I mean, there could be technically unlimited virtues, right? Can there
be? Could.
I don't know.
Why?
I think so, because what virtue is that something that's... And a golden mean, meaning it orients a person towards his purpose.
A golden mean is just a way of like giving you a structure for the virtues, but it doesn't tell you which ones they are, right?
No, right. That's what I mean. Right. That anything could be
so
a virtue.
So now we're talking about the which ones they are. No, not anything.
These are categories of human disposition.
Okay, so how are we going to list these categories? We're going to generate our list.
You have to do it empirically.
I have to.
I think so. Yeah, you have to start at what human beings do, and then figure out how they can do that well. How else would we do it?
How else would we do it? I can think of other ways to do it.
What would be another way?
Yeah, I mean, Adi thought already of another way.
You were middle-flagging it up, I wanted to
know. I was middle-flagging it up, but you thought of another
way. No, I wanted to know how.
No, the problem with that would be something like... Just to be clear, what you're doing is already a list of virtues, right? You're just talking about how to subdivide that list, right? In other words, if you already told me an answer, and then I'm really still before that answer, right? That's the first problem, not a problem. It's just some step that has to be built up. Like you told me, there are virtues that lead to other virtues. And we call these higher, for some reason, or closer to the real end goal, right? Okay, so that's one way of organizing them already. Before you get into your next step, you jump very quickly, right? One way of organizing them would to say something like, there is the best end, best meaning the thing that more things lead to, or more of an end. And there's a sort of a ladder or like a steps to get there, right? And that's one way of organizing the virtues already, right? We could call it in the sense of what are the... It's not only of organizing the virtues, just to be clear, right? It's really of organizing... What are we really organizing here? The activities, right? The things that you do, you say. If someone says something like, the best thing to do in the sense of the thing that is good in itself, or is more good in itself than other things are good for because they lead to that, and that's not good because it leads to other things. The best thing to do is to think, contemplate, right? In order to contemplate, you need to have humility. So here's a way of ordering the virtues, here's a way of organizing them already. Maybe not of splitting them, but of organizing them by the kind of activities that they're about, right? The best activity is thinking, and there are some virtues of thinking. How to think well, how to think correctly, what is needed to think, for thinking correctly, and so on. Those would be one kind of virtues. We didn't yet discuss how to cut those up, right? But then, in order to think, you need to first have money, okay, or a certain amount of money. So therefore, the art and the virtue of making a certain amount of money correctly is prior to that in time and less important than that in importance, right? So you already gave me a way of organizing it, although not of listing it. Because it seems like what you're listing is not entirely the virtues, but your hierarchy, so to speak, is not created by listing virtues. It's created by looking at the reality and saying, what is needed in order for this to work? Right? Makes sense? Why not? Seems to make sense to me. And then when you tell me what is good is what leads to that, that might be true, but that doesn't help me make a list, right? And there also might be things that are only good because of one step, not because they lead to the next step, right? In order to be a Talmid Chacham, you have to have money, okay? You have to get married. That's one shit in the Mishnah, whatever. And in order to get married, you have to have good midas, because otherwise nobody wants to marry you. What makes having the kind of good midas that make your marriage material good is that they're good for marriage, not that they're good for learning. Just Les Beraida, since we have bodies and we have these needs and so on, so having a good life includes getting married and having the virtues that apply to the marriage, and therefore then being able to think, right? So we could organize the virtues if you want this way, by sort of like what is needed at this step, what is needed at that step, and the steps being organized logically by what is better. But we don't really get a list out of the steps. Right? The list is not a list of steps, and it's also not a list of what is needed for the next. It's a list of what is needed for this one. You get what I'm saying? There is another way of these are the two ways that I know of, sort of. There's another way of ordering, or yeah, there's another way of ordering them, which is basically this, but in a slightly different way, which is, we already did that, right? When we discussed the concept of intellectual virtue versus, versus character virtue, anything like that, right? Which is what? Dividing them, I'm going to tell you the answer. Well, you should have known it. You should have figured it out yourself. Is dividing them by the things they're about, by the parts of the soul they're about, or the parts of the person they're about, right? We say intellectual virtues are the virtues of the intellect, or of the brain, or the mind. And character virtues are the ones of the desiring soul, remember? Appetite of soul, something like that. So this was, and if you want, you can divide that into as many kind of things that it does, which we could sort of say are about are different parts of it, different powers of it, and then we would have a way of having sort of a complete list. If you know the complete list of the parts of the person, you can just generate a complete list of the virtues by doing that. Would that make sense? No, it would not, but...
No, because these things have subdivisions and subdivisions, meaning
okay.
the desires apply themselves to the human experience.
Very good.
Right?
But when I do, just to be very clear, when I do subdivisions, you see, like, there's depends what you're looking for if you look for a complete list.
Mm-hmm.
One way of being complete is at least that whatever I say already includes everything else that you're going to add to it. Right? And if subdivisions don't bother me, you can subdivide as much as you want, I still have a complete list. If you start in the bottom, then you end up with an incomplete list because you just started from the lowest subdivisions that you happen to notice. If I start from the top, I have a better list because I could tell the part, but I still have
principles.
Yeah, I still have the top level rule, which includes everything. That would be a different way of doing it. Very different way of doing it, right? I want to tell you one reason why it's not going to be enough. It's going to be a chap. So meanwhile, we have three ways of doing this list. One way is to do the empirical research kind of way, and like, look at all the people and make lists, and hope that we don't miss anything important. The totally bottom up kind of way. Another way would be to do Adi's way, which is to order them by the order of goods. then talk about what is needed, or maybe what certain, at each stage, as we call it, or each level, or each step would be needing certain virtues to make it work well. Third way would be, which is somewhat close to the second way, because the second way can sometimes is said to be like the best thing is to act with your mind. So the, that part is the also the end goal, also the best thing, but it's also a, the virtue of a specific part. Right? And then we would just list all the parts of the soul, or all the parts of the body, all the parts of the society, and assign or figure out what the virtues are for that. And maybe we could need to subdivide them, but at least we'll have a full rule, a full list, or a generally full list, even if we don't have all the particularly full lists, right? That was the third way to do things. The Baya with the third way is what? Baya is that everyone is tired and wants to sleep. But besides for that, yeah, there's a virtue of sleeping enough. Very important. The Baya with this is, what if there's virtues that are not of a part, huh? Then we'll have to add more things.
If what? I didn't hear the problem.
Or virtue that doesn't organize itself according to what? According
maybe there's virtues about relations of parts, about the whole thing. I just said that you might as well, you might make a list of virtues by listing all the parts and then saying what is good for each part, and then we have a full list. But that seems to be very obviously wrong, because not what if, they're pretty sure there are virtues that belong to the whole thing.
Or at least mediation between the parts.
Or to the relation between the
parts. You
want
to give a mushal to all this? Or just
no,
stay
we need
like
to think,
this,
what's wrong with this?
Okay, no, that's what I'm asking.
A mushal to what?
We're not talking about a mushal to all of it.
A mushal of something that is about organized. Well, I could give you the mushal of my table, right? Remember the mushal of the table? How many parts does a table have? How many malas does a table have to be a good table? Without listing them, let's do the same game.
Are you against that?
I'm asking you, list it. Do it.
Are you against it?
Start doing it and let's see.
Sturdiness.
Well, it needs to be...
No, we just said the way to do it is to cut it up into parts and talk about each part, right?
Yeah.
Very good. So?
It needs to be made out of leather.
No. That's the doing right. The paint needs to be shiny. The legs have to be strong. The cuts need to be straight. The I don't know, what other parts of the
table? Corners have to be precise.
What?
Corners have to be aligned.
And so on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are, when we finish listing, all the screws have to be made pointy and strong and so on. Right, now we finish listing all of that. Do I have a good table? No, I have a bunch of parts. Right? That's IKEA. Right? Now you have to come on and put it together, right? Right? Now I'm not going to just put it actual act of putting it together. Also, the act of designing it or creating it means thinking of how all these things are going to fit together. If you have a very strong leg, it's chalada is the strongest leg that can possibly be, but the table, the top shelf of the table is even stronger, even heavy, very heavy, more even heavier than it. Or if the top step, it's, I can have like an aesthetic problem or like in a functional problem, the top step is very small, so you've got the strongest leg because you're going to need the strongest thing possible, but your top is like tiny, it's like a toothpick. Then you don't really have a table, you have some weird monster, right? So it's actually very silly to list parts. You got to talk about the whole thing. That's what we have a coil, right? And when we do a gematria, we make a coil. Why? Because like, yeah, I have a word, I've wanted to. Okay, but that's not a word, right? You got to do the whole word too. Otherwise it doesn't work. That's a Torah that I heard from Rav Pinkas once.
Ah, so then it would be... Anyway, only coil was good.
No, because the coil got to be made of something.
No, but only gematria, that's what the coil was made. Makes
sense. Those are the only ones that are correct. All the other ones are Shalach HaMa'asas. The problem is, Trachtaran, hello. When we make a gematria with a coil, we're always cheating. Because the reason you do it is because the other side is without a coil. Perhaps. This is Hilchos Gematria. Think about it. It's dumb. If you always need a coil, then it's back at the same place. The only time we need a coil is when you're using one and not the other. And that's the problem with it. If you just add one to everything, it doesn't make any difference. The kids that I'm asked, as long if you're consistent, then you're not. It's the problem that coil solves is always when it doesn't really work. Anyways, that's why this is not enough. We might have to ask add virtues of the whole or the relations between all kinds of parts and so on. And then someone might even come and say that that's the only virtue. Because that's what, remember, virtues are not of hands and of feet and of even specific wants and needs. What are they of? What are they of?
People.
People, there you go. Are people hands? No, people are people. So there's no virtue that really counts unless it's part of the whole. Unless it's counted or understood in the context of the whole person. Right?
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah, no.
Is that true? There isn't such a thing as kindness. Because, like we say, you can be too kind, right? And too kind, is, what does too kind even mean? Too kind just means that your kindness conflicts with your other parts of your humanity, right? Or with other parts of other people's humanity. And that's why it's not good. It's a way of saying, like, you can't only have healthy hands, because healthy hands means hands that work well with the rest of the body. And say, well, you can't have healthy kindness without having any other part of... of
your virtue and alignment.
Right, exactly. So if we understand that virtue, we need virtues of the whole, we might as well drop all the part virtues in some sense. Because they're all subservient to this one. But on the other hand, no, what's the other hand? It's Machtaza. But on the other hand,
what is that virtue?
The other hand,
stable,
it gives us
and
no
the person,
way to approach it in
you're
any
saying
way
the
where
of
we
it.
Can
you're not telling me
we can isolate something to understand it.
You're still going back there. Right. Just a good person,
right? Think, yeah, right. That's the problem. I mean, the problem is that you have nowhere to begin.
Exactly.
Okay, so what if I'm a kind person? Now, what does complete kindness consist of?
Kindness. That's. That's brought into...
Okay, so very good. So let's not just say we're a good person. Let's give you one virtue. Kindness. Very good.
That's a part.
To be completely kind is to
what's
be kind,
the problem
but it's good for people to be kind.
Very good. So what? In order to be fully kind, what do we need?
Everything else.
Thank you very much. So if you have a problem with me telling things that are too general, I could just tell you any example. But any example, if you think about it enough, and if you do it enough, means everything else also. Right?
Even in the usual of the table. It's also like that.
Yeah, if you want to think that way, maybe. Yeah, because a normal leg means the leg that fits correctly with it, exactly. So it's enough for me to tell you one thing, right? That's why when we say El Shem Yichud, it says, V'tareg mitzvahs akli lezba. Because you can't do even one mitzvah without doing all the other mitzvahs. Because if you do, then you're a weirdo. Because there's no mitzvah to do just that mitzvah. If a mitzvah is a part of life and something that actually is useful for a human being. Right? I'll tell you a mushul. There was a yid that had a mitzvah tefillin, okay? Doesn't care about any other mitzvahs, just wants you to put on tefillin. Okay, now I have a question for you. Let's say we get everyone to be very into the mitzvah of putting on tefillin, right? Now there's a shtickle bayah, that's not what I've said, there's a bayah. Because when you put on tefillin, it's not correct, tefillin has a meaning. And putting on tefillin means you have to have correct machshavas. It's not putting it on. It says gifnuki, you have to have purity of your body and purity of your mind. If you're putting on tefillin and... thinking of Nadeshkeiten, probably you're not making mitzvah tefillin, or maybe you're doing something even bad. And complete, maybe. But the ideal tefillin is not that, right? Shet Miramba. Different order of tefillin, you already have to have another mitzvah of Chabad Shef having correct thoughts, right?
He's
in the key. Not only. And also, of course, if you think of Karsu to the film, that doesn't make any sense. You really have to have a minute. That's that the film might not even mean anything. So, right? Now, I have another thing for you. This Yid is only putting on film. Should he put on film on Shabbos? What is the correct way of putting on film? Shabbos, you don't put on film.
If he doesn't keep Shabbos.
But if you don't keep Shabbos, the Chodi have put on film on Shabbos.
Right?
Only if but that's not a Shkai. That's not the correct way of putting on film, right? So it's stuck. This guy that's putting only has doing the mitzvah of putting on film. You like examples? I'm giving you examples. This guy that's only doing the mitzvah of putting on film. He's got to start putting on keeping Shabbos also and Yom Tov Halamoid Lefi Dezoyer, because otherwise he's a weirdo. He's putting on film on Shabbos because he's having the Shabbos on a man and it doesn't make any sense, right? And if you could, if he wants to keep Shabbos, no, I don't even have to go like that. What else does he have to do?
Have a
firstly, he has to line Krishma because I could have Krishma let film is glad I'd shake, and also ha minich film I could have Krishma let's take glad I'd shake. It's weird. Film is saying you should say Shema, right? And also, you have to teach his children the Torah because it says in the film of Mantam, says Menachem. And if you teach the Torah and you're not Mekayim, you're stammel olas. So, because he has to do the whole Torah and not do the film, right? Also, he's taught in Torah, the Chartam, one says on Tzitzis, but because it's the same idea. One mitzvah generates all of them.
And
it really does.
If you put on film without teaching Torah, it also fits in the Maya checking.
Exactly. Shtet Lamantam, it's Shtet Lamanti Torah Shem Aficho, it's a Pusik, right? That's not film, right? So you could, we don't have to talk, instead, the Rav Jeb was right that we shouldn't say become a Yid. What does that mean? Put on film. But putting on film means everything else also. Otherwise, you're doing a half film. Okay, half a film, neither, but we want to do a whole film, right? The same thing was with every midah. You end up not having to talk about all of them, because it's enough to talk about one, but if you do that one correctly, it already implies basically all of them. Unless you're not, like, thinks that we could just push this midah all the way to the end, and without caring about the other ones, which just means you're going to be extreme, and then you're not going to do it.
So let's say humility. I'll just give you let's take Takamushul in the middle. Let's say humility. How would humility
mean? I don't know what humility is.
What?
First you have to tell me what it is, and why it's good.
I thought we were already knock on that one.
Okay, what is it? I don't know. Let's
so
again.
Let's go with which one is for sure that you agree with, because I don't want to get into the whole rabbit hole with humility is.
The whole point is you always get into rabbit holes. That's what I hope is. Okay, no.
No, like how does humility, let's say...
Of course it does.
Because attach
I told you about kindness.
Well, your kindness, yeah.
You're calling humility is like a...
Humility, well, the humility that we talked about before was just an intellectual virtue. I'm not talking about those. I mean, those are also like this, but we'll have to connect that to the whole...
Ah, so it doesn't have to do with...
No, it does have to do, but take a few more steps. Soul. We'll take a few more steps. Of course it does. I mean, it doesn't. Of course it does.
Does, okay. So then, that's what I'm asking.
What's the question?
I don't even know how it does, though.
How it does connect to what?
The desired soul.
To the what?
To the...
What do you mean? Humility is about...
The roots guy.
No, your humility that you talked about was a kind of intellectual habit. It doesn't belong to desire. That's not the point. If you want to talk connect. So how you can't have that correctly... without having the other ones correctly, and this because of what we already know, you can't learn without having good midas, right?
Right.
So you're a kind of person. Not what I mean, correct? So you are what we called. What did you say? You call humility?
Can you not?
You don't think that you know everything?
You're a humble guy. Would that be you call it humility? If like you, so I said, why didn't you help the guy? He said, nah, I'm a humble guy. I can't, you know.
Can't do anything, right? Very good. Maybe the other guy is right, right? Humility says maybe someone else is right, right? So therefore, you can't even learn anything. By the way, even in learning, there must be an opposite middle, which is called something like
courage or
gal.
Yeah.
let's call it like that. It's a weird thing. Let's call it like that for now, right? There's opposite middle, like so I never know anything because I also never know. Very good. So I also never know anything. Knowledge, by the way, works. Our life lives on knowledge. All our middles live on knowledge, right? Could I know, there's some, like you said, there's some big anovim that let everyone steal from them and from their friends and from everyone else because they don't know who's right anyway. Because they're so open-minded, right? So they're kind of humility. Not open-minded, they're like weak-minded, right? But that's not humility, that's just, that maybe you could call it an extreme of humility, which is not humility anymore, it's just being shmata.
Pushover.
Yeah, pushover, exactly. So, you gotta have the correct amount of humility, which means you also have to have another middle, which is the opposite. You could call it that way, maybe. Or the correct amount. But how do you know that's the correct amount? You have to learn the Halacha Mishpat, like we discussed a few weeks ago from the Chazon Ish, to know who's right in most fights. So you have to also be a Talmud Chacham. And so on and so forth. This is not a real tell, it's like to all the kashas that I said, but it's a true point.
Like, to which kashas it's not a tell?
List all the kashas and let's see. What would I want to ask in the beginning of the Shir? I'm very bothered by this idea. I'll tell you what it does answer and how much it doesn't answer. I'm very bothered. I was by the question that I asked today. Technically, I asked different questions, but practically, I asked this question. Very bothered by the fact that nobody can give me the list of the good middas and the bad ones. According to Shittes Breslev, I don't care. Tell me, Ibn Shlom. That keket thing. You can tell me certain things. Breslev, there about a minute, Chachomim, and about Tmimus.
What do you mean, regular average Jew could do?
He could?
Well, the
okay, let's try.
Has a list.
Don't tell me the Mishnah has a list. No, tell me the list.
That's what they would tell you.
But that's just trying me a cup. The Mishnah's list. You know, it's like, that's not relevant.
English, no
one
cares.
Tell me the list. Tell me the list. Oh, a regular guy knows the Mishnah.
That's what I'm saying. Regular Yeshivish demand.
He doesn't know the Mishnah. If he says there's a Mishnah, it doesn't help.
He knows what the Mishnah Yisharim says.
What does he say? That what? Tell me the list. No, the
Mishnah. I'm saying regular Yisharim.
No, he doesn't. He will not tell you the list. Not true.
They definitely won't all say
it's not true.
Thing.
We will not have a list.
There's a Mishnah.
What's Mishnah? Which Mishnah? What are you talking about? I don't think they're going to say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but he said give the top three. They wouldn't know what
to
say. That was one way of asking the question.
The list.
So in your yeshiva, that's the things that they mostly emphasize. Which one of them are the most important? Because what I mean to say is that you're telling me people that quote instead of answering, you're not interested. In other words, you're saying to me like this: the most important virtue is being able to quote Svarim Kedeshim. I agree with that. That's the most important, one of the most important virtues in yeshiva. Instead of thinking, quoting, or instead of answering my questions, quoting at me. No problem. That's what you did. You didn't answer my question, though, right? You're not even talking with me. They state our list in the Mishnah. As long as it's like the Mishnah, what do you, I'd ask you a question, right?
No, so he would say, okay, he would say the
very good.
Three,
so he doesn't.
Hello,
nobody even knows what these things are, right? This is Shonim as a Chakira, what it means. Nobody knows. That's not an answer to my question, right? I'm telling you that virtue is just a way of saying, who is the good guy, right? What is your picture of a good guy? And you tell me a Mishnah, state the Mishnah. So your picture of a good guy is someone that says state the Mishnah. I think that's true. But you didn't tell me any more information. Maybe there's such a middah. The one middah called Shteten Mishnah. No problem. Shkam Mishnah is not Braise. Shteten Sefer. No problem. So the middah is called being able to quote a Mishnah. What's that middah? Is there anything else good in life? Fight for that? No? Okay. No problem. What about Chesed? Not about Shteten Mishnah. Also, there's two middahs already. Knowing the Mishnah, doing Chesed. Anyways, you wanted me to tell you about the Kash and the Teretz was. So I was bothered by the inability of people to give in this list. Not only the people in the yeshiva can't give this list, or if they have a list that's very weird, and not only people on my table can't give in this list, or maybe they could, but they're very tired, but also the people that we read their book can't give us the list. Does Rambam have a list? Not really. Does Aristotle have a list? Also not really. He also changes the list between his books and between his chapters. Does Plato have a list? Yes. Plato has a list for everything. Correct lists, because he's a top-down kind of guy. But Aristotle is more of a bottom-up kind of guy. That's the push-up shot why he doesn't have a list. Because he holds a Shmuley's Mahalach of just looking around. Tell me the most salient ones. There might be some that I missed, so we'll talk about that next time. But that's kind of annoying. Teretz to this annoyance is something called unity of the virtues, which I've led you to in one way now. Which is saying that we don't really have to have a list. It's not important to have the correct complete list. It might be important for Shluk Lech Torah, but it's not important for becoming a good person. Because any kind of list, which is always picking out some of the most salient virtues that we see in the people that we like and we hold that they're good people, is going to have to basically include all of them. Otherwise, you're describing bad people. Yeah. And even
He does.
He has different jobs. It's not like Nishmeh. The opposite, because of that he has. His lists are just categorizations, they're not really lists. Not this kind of list. Whenever he talks about one virtue, he tries to explain that that virtue is really just knowledge, and therefore everything is only one thing, which is called knowledge. Kitzaravaz, that's different shmiz. Just history. What I'm telling you is that, in reality, even if we look at it as a way of, like, look, give me the top three middest of the people that you hold of, you end up having to describe, or you end up implying everything, including some middahs that we don't even have a name for yet because we didn't discuss them at length. But we ended up applying everything because otherwise you're describing a weirdo. That's why every tzaddik that has one middah that he's known for, usually it means that he exaggerated that middah. And that was actually the thing that he was also bad at.
Only bad at, maybe.
The real tzaddik, the people that by the Levi people say, I don't know, there was nothing special about him, he was just like a good guy. The ones that is a weirdo, he was Mama Shmiz and I'm Kitze Egishlug Menschen, right? Oh, he was such a maspid because he never helped his wife. You understand? You already know that. Because usually when people praise a virtue, they mean to say the exaggeration of it, which is not good. In other words, he didn't have the other method of helping your wife, or the cycle that tells you how much, and so on. And maybe the same thing with the guy that's a rebel. You have to have a rebel, be a rebel in the correct amount, and also be a conformist in the correct amount. And the guy that does that correctly, nobody realizes that he's a rebel or a conformist. He's just a good guy. Yishtayist? That's my shiur for today. It's more than enough.
There's this famous kasha that the Welt asks, that I think when Rav Shach was masked the Bishkarov, he said that he had the thing of emes.
No.
He said, what do you mean, what's with all the olam in this? This is the
Oizgetech. It's true, but that's because most people are not complete people. Most people are not balanced. Most people don't have the...
I'm saying in that world, in that type of thing also...
I don't know what that means. What does it mean?
Let's say there's such a type
no,
thing.
I actually think that could mean the opposite. It could mean sometimes if someone says, what's that person's specific middah? It could mean, what's his way of getting all the other middahs? Right? Like, how does he get into all of them?
Mm-hmm.
Say, I'm going to focus, like, is the story, like, they told the guy, just never say a lie or something like that. And suddenly, like I told you the story with that film, you suddenly have to become a whole yid because of that. And that's true. If you take any virtue and you take it seriously, and you don't think that you're... Sometimes people, like, they make their mitzvah one mitzvah, and that's license to do everything else wrongly. Can't do that. But if you accept it as being a part of being a good person, then it does lead you to all the good things.
Is the Rambam's recipe for balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that... How do I put this in a... Does that correspond to what you're saying? Meaning to say that when I habituate myself to balance in that one, let's say, virtue... Everything else will fall into place where I balance,
I don't know,
the rest
I don't know.
Out, where I become a balanced person. Or
if there's something called not balance in the specific virtue, if you talk about the das, if you could talk about not practical wisdom or something that they may be, but it's not clear that you could like practice that in the abstract. I don't know.
He's asking a question.
No, he's asking an informational-like question. If that works, I
no,
don't know.
He's asking that
to what extent
that
works.
Then would be true that all you need to do is. Like, perfect itself in one middah.
Yeah, but no, but that's not true, because the perfection of one middah means knowing how the rest of the world works, means knowing how to act and everything else. You can't do that.
It's like
a catch-22.
It's a shikul, like,
yeah, yeah,
chicken
it's
egg.
Supposed
yeah,
to be
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You could say, I'm going to be just the onav, and onav means something between a gava and a what do you call it, a shmata, or pushover.
Right.
But that means you have to know how to judge situations correctly. Now, it could be that this middah of judge, I don't know, I actually tend to think that not. Or the line of thinking that we work with usually tend to think that it's very hard, that like judgment doesn't carry over. Like there's all these questions, do skills carry over? If you have a skill at one thing, do you have the same? You know what I'm saying? It's always a question like...
Transferable skill.
Like does the transfer, like I'm good at learning Gemara, I'm also going to be good at learning science. Usually it doesn't work out as well as you would expect it to work.
No.
It works in the sense of you have the raw talent and things like that.
See, the
but
guys
doesn't work
who,
as well.
Who are great at learning, when they go to a job, they
usually
have
not
no idea
good.
What's fine.
Okay, that's because it's different talents needed in the job. But even if you go to a job, a job that's similar, like learning a different area of knowledge,
right.
Very often it doesn't work because the intuitions that you gain are very specific. They're related to the domain that you're into.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the same thing works for middos. Like it's actually, that's why I do think that you do have the long list. I'm not masking with my sheet today. Personally, I think that the longer your list is, the better you're going to be, because naming things is one of the ways in which we notice how we should act. Like, of course, then you have to figure out which middah to apply and which time. That's never going to be resolved by having like a long list. But the point is, you can't just say be a good person and just figure out. You need to have like a name. Wait, now I'm being one of, but now I'm not being a this. You have to have a word for that. It's very hard to realize
you have
that.
You know
that
you're in the middle of doing that you're doing.
Right. We did a sheet already about that. But so I don't know if there's like something. You have to remember when the Rama says be balanced, he doesn't mean be a kind of moderate, right? The guy that all the politicians are trying to talk to always, the moderate that nobody ever met, right? And it doesn't mean be that. Like never too much of anything.
Yeah.
It means be the correct, right?
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not clear like. Not clear that finding the correct is like a transferable skill.
Right.
There might be a theory that it is, but I think that would be the question.
It's a practice that you can.
There is some transfer. I have to talk about. You could close it if you want. I have to think about. I wanted to continue about the precious. There is a way in which transferable, like overcoming. There is something like that. If you talk about the general thing, but I can't. I'm gonna have to think about that separately. like the relation between different stages of virtue where the same kind of thing pertains. Okay, whole different drusha.
Am I getting to the previous part?
What time is it?
Not free.
No problem.
It's 11:17.
Okay, and? That's early, late, correct, perfectly correct time. Which one? We don't know. We have to know relative to what, huh? That's the story.
Okay.